Blog Talk Radio.
Today, hey, you feel the spirit real strong in your heart. Don't forget, as you're celebrating whatever your special time is today, make sure that you're keeping God first. Keep that spirit in your heart. Don't lose it. Hold on to it. Don't let someone come in, draw your attention away from it. Remember, good times, bad times, every day of our lives, we want to be closer. And you know, we're never going to be perfect, so don't even worry about that. But just relax and know that we are trying to walk in the Word. So we're just trying to follow God's Word, His instructions that He's given to us, that will show us how to live by His example. So day by day, we're getting stronger. Day by day, we have the opportunity to do some things that we weren't able to do yesterday. Don't give up and stop wallowing in all of your sorrows. Get yourself back up and let's move forward. brand new opportunities. Hallelujah. And you know, one day these things are going to end for us. We know not the day, the time, or the hour, but we are for certain of one thing. This body is going to it's going to wear out. We're going to take our last breath. So, you know, it's no need of wearing. So, you know, if there is rest for the weary, our scripture tonight is coming from the book of Matthew 11. And we're going to start at verse 25, Matthew 11, 25. And it reads, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and Lord of earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good measure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary. Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 25 through 30. He said, come and learn from me. That's what we're wanting to do. So as we bow our heads tonight, we just want to invite the Holy Spirit to just come and be in the midst of this ministry today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit, we do just as we say. We invite you to come and just be with us, dear Father. Share yourself with us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for saving us. When we're lost in our own sin, you loved us enough, dear Father, to make a way for us, to bridge a gap, dear Father, that we don't have to stand on one side and watch on the other, but we can be with you for eternity. And we can live a good life here, going through life, just living life. Life is full of all kinds of choices. And we choose to be right here in your presence. And we thank you, Jesus, for choosing to be with us. And now may I decrease and may your ever-loving highness increase and just show us, dear Father, what it is that we need to make it through the day, through the night, to say that special word, dear Father, that you're going to deliver in our hearts to be delivered onto a loved one, to a friend, or maybe even a stranger. We depend on you for all of our strength, all of our knowledge and wisdom, dear Father. It comes from you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can bring all of our burdens to you in our times of weariness. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We want to get to know ourselves a little better tonight. You know, it's so much false and phony things that's going around and people smiling in your face and turning behind closed doors. They're saying all kind of stuff behind you that you never would have recognized that, well, no, that didn't come out of that mouth, right? And there's a lot of things that will get you depressed, will just get you down, will get you to the point where you just don't know if you can carry on. So this scripture tells us today that there is rest for the weary. You know, sometimes you have to step off of that floor and just go find yourself a quiet room or just walk. You know, and most of us have beautiful weather right now. Just get out and take a short walk. Go sit in your car. Go somewhere and find that, praise that little place that you can just praise. You know, that place where you can just say, thank you for your hidden places that I can just come and talk to you. You may sit right there at your desk and just close your eyes for a moment and just let him just nourish you. Let him comfort you. Because he tells me there is rest for the weary. And he says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal himself to. Ask and it shall be given. So he invites us all to come to him if we're weary. Come to him if we're burdened down. He said, I want to give you rest. He said, take upon my yoke. Yeah, take my yoke upon you. And then learn from me. That's what we want to do, learn from me. He said, for I am gentle, and I'm humble in my heart. And then you'll find rest for your soul if you'll follow these instructions. For my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. Now, what you've been trying to do and what you've been chasing after is just the opposite. If it has anything to do with the world, you're trying to find the perfect match that's going to be the one for your marriage. You're trying to pretend that everything is going good and you know that you've made a mistake and that person that you have selected is not who it is that you thought it was. You know, our wise God knows how to say no to you also. Just because we say that we want it, he knows how to say no also to protect you. And sometimes we run outside of his will, and even though those no's comes, we don't want to hear it, and we refuse to hear it. And so we find ourselves in situations where we're putting on one face, but we're not meaning it. In our hearts, we're all disturbed and messed up. And that's exactly what's happening out in the media right now today, correct? We have somebody who's in situations, and, you know, it doesn't matter your status of your income. They're in situations, and they really are not the people who we think they are. They're really not thinking in their hearts what they're trying to portray on their face. I just invite you all to just let go and just, you got to get to a point where you're willing to just die to yourself. You know, because let's be honest, pretending to be someone we're not, it's a lot of hard work. You know, but to pretend to be someone else, it takes time. It takes practice. You know, that's why we feel tired after that first date, because a lot of times you pretended to be someone else on that date to impress somebody. You did things that you would never do. You dressed up in these attires that you never would have worn. You're very uncomfortable, but it's that first date and you're trying to make a first impression, and it's just tiring. And even if it's enjoyable, you find yourself that it was tiring. Or you find yourself before the date is over, you just finally have to take that belt off. Or undo the tie a little bit. Unbutton a couple buttons or something just to get some comfort in there. Because the real you is just fighting to expose itself. Amen? You know, I tell anybody when you meet in and you're going out on a date and you're just dating, remember the person that you're seeing right now is not who. It's another person inside of there peeking out at you, smiling at you, and every now and then you're looking, you see that person, and they're glancing at you a little different, and you have to do a double take, like, who was that? Yeah, I never saw that smile before. Who was that? I never saw that evil look before. Yeah, that your voice kind of changed. You act a little different in this situation. Who was that? It's time to really get to know ourselves. So it's a lot of hard work, even after on a job interview. You know, you get all worked up and you see the people that are nervous, and you may stumble over your words a little bit, and it's hard work because you're trying to be maybe something. You want to be on your best behavior. You want to do your best. Where after you get that job and you get to know me a little bit better and I get to know you a little bit better and you start to let your guard down a little bit, you sit here and do some things that you didn't do in that interview process. Amen? It's hard work, or even spending time other places where we feel we have to project an image. We even do that in the churches. Some of those places where we feel like we have to project a certain image. That's why we're drawn to transparency, you know. And we long to go where we can just be ourselves. You know, it's a relief to not have to pretend that you pray more than what you really do. Or that you know more about the Bible than you really do. You know, you're pretending around certain people that you got it all together, but you know that you really don't. Well, you know that you've got questions about things that you don't understand. You know that you don't read as much as you're letting on, or you're pretending that you do. You know, as far as how many people at church know, you're always in the Word. You're never thinking any thoughts outside of the Word. You got the shield up, and it's hard to carry it. It gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and it just gets to a point. You just got to be like the young David was, and you got to refuse to be all armed up in all of this garb that doesn't fit you anyway. And you got to decide, you know, I can run a more heavier race if I just be myself. Even my flaws, I've got to, they may be exposed, but I'm going to work on those. I'm going to pray on those. I can't fix it if I won't even own up to it. I got to be able to look at me, all flaws included, and decide, this is where I am right now. I got to be able to talk to myself on real talk. It doesn't mean that that's where I'm always going to be. It doesn't mean that I can't make a difference, that I can't change. But where I'm at right now, it may be because of poor choices. It may be your health. It may be your finances. You know, whatever the situation is, overlooking it, you know, trying to sweep it under the rug, it does not rectify. It does not fix anything, and it will not go away. It'll still be right there, even when you get ready to do the things that you want to do now, especially for old, you know, as you're getting older. Especially you want to make different decisions that you haven't, maybe in the past it didn't really matter, and you were satisfied with where you were at, with what you were doing. Oh, but now, you're getting a little older. You're thinking of things a little different. And you decide, maybe I should fix my credit. You know, maybe I should go now and do a sit-up every now and then. Maybe I do need to walk instead of just jumping in my car to go everywhere. Maybe I do need to be a little bit more nicer to the ones that are helping me out. Let me see, can I do something about these things? And I'm going to do that by being myself. I'm going to put everything out. I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm going to listen to some of that constructive criticism. And I'm going to start abiding by it and doing things. And I'm going to stop hiding behind this facade at church, at work, that I'm Mrs. and Mr. Got It Going On. And know that I'm sitting at home and I'm sipping and I'm taking pills and I'm doing whatever just trying to cope. You know, we just got to find a time that we can just be ourselves, because it's a relief to not have to pretend that, you know, we know more, or we pray more, or whatever it is. It's a relief that you could just start to be honest with you about you. You know, we never, ever have to pretend with God. You know, and a genuine brokenness pleases God when you're genuine. A genuine brokenness, it pleases God. It pleases Him more than you pretending to be spiritual. He'll pretend spirituality. It doesn't impress God. So if I'm ever going to become the me that I'm meant to be, I'm going to start by being honest about the me that I am right now. So if you're ever going to become the you that you are meant to be, you've got to start by being honest about the you that you are right now, present time, present time. You know, sometimes I try to change or we try to change the way that we do things or the way that we dress or whatever, because you're comparing yourself to others. But comparison kills your spiritual growth. Comparison kills your spiritual growth. You know, you may see somebody and they may brag and talk about it, and they spend, you know, 2 and 3 hours just talking to the Lord on a daily basis, and they're just seem to be just the perfect
Christian. They just got it all together. And you may be a mom that's running around and you're working and you're trying to be a wife and you're trying to be all of these things. And you may say, what am I doing? Why can't I find that time to just spend all of these hours with the Lord? Why can't I give him 2 hours a day? You know, you start to beat yourself up. And you don't even have any quiet time for yourself. And when you do try to squeeze in and just make yourself have those hours or whatever with the Lord, you're not even, your heart's not even there. You want to be, but it's so much going on. You know, what you really don't realize is that what you're doing, you're spending time. You have a family there. And what you're doing with your kids, with your family, you know, that is love. That's a way that you're expressing your love. Sometimes it never occurs to us that just spending that precious time raising your family is an expression to your children that counts as spiritual activity. Or perhaps, you know, that you're serving God more faithfully by doing there, being there for your family. Because sometimes the ones that spend that hour or two in their prayer closet, sometimes they may be neglecting their family. How many times have you know you've heard people say, well, you know, my pastor is my father and he was there for everybody else but us. And so watch yourself. Just take you. Do you. Do what it is that you can do. You have to die to yourself. Sometimes this flesh says, I don't want to do it. This flesh says, I don't want to be right. You know, sometimes this flesh says, you know, if you're not doing this and you know, your sister has achieved this and your brother has achieved and done this, and then where are you at? You know, sometimes you have to look on the other side and just see, I'm free. That's where I'm at. I'm with freedom. Sometimes death to try to keep up with the Joneses, but just putting that behind you can give you freedom. Now, I'm not saying don't be a, you know, I don't want you to be an underachiever. But no one is freer than a dead man. You know, sometimes you have to just move the things that are weighing you down, that is killing you, because it's not the real you. Sometimes you have to move them out of the way so you can find the freedom that you're looking for. Jesus had much to say about death to self. And on the journey to me, you want to be you. You want to find that true you. On my journey to me, to find me, I want to find that real me. So I got to be honest with myself. I got to let some things of my flesh die. You have some dying to do. You know, but that kind of death is always death to a lesser self, to a false self. To the stuff that have to pretend, that death, so that a better and a noble self can come to life. And that's the death, that's the life that we hold on to and we allow God to polish and shine. You see, there is an outer you, your body, you know, that has been shaped all the time by the way that you eat. Our bodies are shaped by the way that we drink or sleep or even exercise. It's the way that we live. Our body. It's been shaped by all of those different things. You agree? Now, you may do this well or poorly. You know, intentionally we may do things to our bodies or not, but it's going to happen. Some people work out more to make sure that you can see it. And when you look at them, so they work out, you know, definitely. And some people don't, and they don't care. And when you see that, you look at them too and say, well, they don't work out. I see that. Amen. Amen. But our outer body is what we're speaking on now. You know, then there's the inner you. The inner you, sometimes you can cover up the outer body and you know, with clothing or different garments, whatever it is. But the inner you, that's your thoughts. That's your desires, that's your will and your character. That's the inner you. See, this has been shaped all the time by what you see, what you read, or what you hear. Even the things that you think shapes your inner body. The things that you do, it shapes your inner you, the inner you. That's why, you know, you say, well, I'm just listening to the movie because of this. But if it's a hearing, something in there that you're seeing, and you're hearing that is not appropriate, that is not of Christ, it's not following the word. Remember, you're putting that stuff in the inner you. I can't pour oil into my car and think that it's not going to touch anything down the little hole there that I put it in. Yeah, it's going to affect some things there. So you cannot see and hear things and thinking that it's just, oh, it didn't touch anything. It didn't connect. It's not going to do anything. It does. So when you're under pressure and when you're least thinking about it, you react the same way that you just saw. You react the same thing, the same way that you just heard something. In those same ways. Those are the ways that you react to it. So we spoke about the outer body. We'll know a little bit about the things that are forming by there, and now the inner body, and what actually takes place and how those things are, your character is changed by the way that you live, by the way that you think and hear. So we can call the inner you the spirit. Now, being spiritually formed by God is the process by which your inner self and your characters are shaped when you are being spiritually formed by God. It's a process in which he takes on your inner self. And this is the way lasting change happens. It's not a process powered by human will, but it's the work of God. We just join in. It's the work of God. We just open our hearts and open our character and open our minds and say, God, have control. So we can pray. We can apply wisely around our gifts that God gives us. He gives us gifts. We can use our gifts. We can pray for more definition and sharpness of our gifts. So we'll receive power from the Father. We want to receive the power to live a spiritual charged life. When we pray and we identify, we ask, not trying to be somebody else, not trying to get caught up in your gifts that you have, and I can't sell your gift. But I can't sell your gift. I can't even imitate your gifts. Your gifts are just that. It's your gift. Vice versa. So we'll pray about the gifts that God has. You may say, well, minister, I'm not to share what my gifts are. So we pray. And we ask God to do what? Reveal those things that he has placed inside of us, to bring those two things to surface, and to move anything that we have let our eyesight, our hearing cavities, put inside of us that is sitting on top of that, those gifts that we now can't see, that we can't identify. So we ask God to move all of those things, so we can see the gifts that he has bestowed on you. So we pray. We'll arrange our lives to work for those gifts, to work on those gifts, to be there and let God just handle them and show us these things that we need to see. So we can flourish. So we can be proud of ourselves. You'll be so amazed when you find out what's important about you. You know, it's so easy to just look at the entertainers and look at maybe family, friends who have figured out what their gift is. And, you know, we look at them and we get so mesmerized by all of this. Because sometimes we don't feel that we have anything that can compare to what you're seeing from those individuals. And so we pour all of our time and our energy and even our finances into being around them just to support their dreams. But what about you? Getting to know yourself, what about you? What's inside of you that is that powerful? So we pray. Hallelujah, we pray. And what our spirits are rooted in and shaped by God's spirit, because God wants to do that same special thing that you see in others. He wants to do that in a way that uniquely fits me. You know, psychologists have begun to speak of what is perhaps the largest mental health problem in our day. And surprisingly, it's not depression. It's not even anxiety, but at least not at clinical levels, let's say. But it is languishing of failure to thrive. It's a failure to thrive. Just being complacent, sitting, just doing nothing, watching life go by, the same routine, just no desire to thrive. It's the condition of someone who may be able to function but maybe have lost a sense of hope or a sense of meaning, the presence of maybe mental illness, but rather it's the absence of emotional, it's the absence of the mental vitality. All of that is absent. You know, in ancient list of deadly sins, it was called acedia, which actually is weariness of the soul or inability to delight in life. We speak of dead marriages. We speak of dead-end jobs. And to languish is to feel inner deadness. Some people say, I just don't feel anything. Nothing excites me. Nothing makes me want to get up and move and get up and get out of little bar. Nothing makes me want to get up and do something different. Languishing is the opposite of flourishing. And it was the fear of author Henry David, Thoreau, that when I came to die, it said, I would discover that I had not lived. He said, when I came to a point to die, I discovered that I really have not lived. That's what we're trying to prevent. You know, often people have dreams for their lives when they're young. And then over time, they just simply give up those dreams. They simply just give up those dreams. One of the writers and artists, Gordon McKenzie, he tells of visiting children in kindergarten and asking them, who is an artist? You know, every hand shot up. And then decreased to half the class by third grade. And it's almost non-existent by the time that those same children turned 12 and the same question was asked. See, when we give up on our growth and our life's purpose, we languish. We go in the opposite direction. So can you imagine by the time that they're 15 and 16 are hitting 20? That's why you run into so many kids. They have no desire. They have no desire to thrive, to do anything. But there is a way to recover the good life as we get to know ourselves. You know, a great way to start a new year or a new day, and this could be your new year, not calendar, but right now could be your new year, your new day. And a great way is just with this promise from Jesus. It says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living waters will flow from within them. Whoever believeth in me, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. I know you're thirsty right now, my sisters and my brothers. You're thirsty right now. You've been invited to come and drink. And he said, if you believe in him with your heart, your spirit, your mind, your soul, he said, living waters will begin to flow from within you. Now, by this, he meant that the spirit whom believers in Christ will receive, if you're a believer in Christ, you will receive the
So he made that the spirit when you are inside will flow from within. The rivers of living waters.
It's where you feel hollow, where you feel empty when you're disappointed. This time, right now, starting over, you can cast aside the shallow self that you've been settling for in the past years. You can cast all that aside. But you can thrive right now. Decide I'm going to thrive. Decide I'm going to drink deeply of those living waters. The living waters. I don't have to pretend to be somebody else anymore because it's goodness in me for who I truly am. I don't have to hide behind this mask any longer. I have questions about my time management. I'm not spending the time that I would love to spend. My desires are to spend more time with the Lord, but I'm running behind three kids. I'm trying to be a working mother and a wife. So dedicating my time to the Lord, and we're spending it as a family we worship. And one more time I get, it may be 10 minutes or 15 minutes of just me and God. But I'm going to cherish that. I'm not going to compare it to someone else. I'm not going to compare it to where they're at. I want to cherish God. You know, just sitting in studies, cell groups, or in Bible studies, it's so many things that we really don't understand. And then the leader will take out time and say, please, send me information. Ask me questions. What do you not understand about this pertaining to your life? And we get so caught up in amen and shouting and that we forget. What does that really mean? How can I apply that to my life? And then you go back home in that same situation that you came out of, and you don't have any more answers. You may remember a word or two to say it. You may say the phrase the same way that the pastor, the leader, or the teacher said it. But it has no meaning. It's empty. And it hit up against you, and it just kind of fell to the ground. It didn't get inside of you. It's not a part of your character. You're not building anything off of it because it didn't do anything to you. So it's not going to do anything for that situation that you're in. But this is your time that you can just cast aside all of that shallowness. You can thrive. I want you to deeply drink of the living waters. So out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The words that you say are going to be live words that actually do something. Action comes behind your words now. Hallelujah. And when you're filled with him, the Holy Spirit, you can't help but become the me that you're meant to be. You can't help but become the me that you're meant to be. You start to see the gifts, and you start to recognize that that dream that I had a long time ago is not really there inside of me. God has a way of making these things come alive. God is still God, and he's alive and a living God. So why should my dreams be different? Why should my dreams be dead? Why am I killing my dreams? God wants me to live these dreams out, and he has a way of doing it. And it's not by following behind someone else. It's not by trying to do what they're doing. It's not by saying what they say. But it's by following behind and getting to know what it is that he has for you. The ministry, I tell every leader who calls, they say they've been chosen by the Lord. Not just called, but chosen by the Lord as he reveals different things to them. I always ask them, who are you ministering to? Who is your audience? Look at you and your situation. And who are you ministering to? You may can reach a crowd that I may never can. And vice versa. The word is the word, and it will heal all. It will deliver all if they believe it in their heart. God said, I'm here for you. But look right around you. Sometimes you try to go to avenues that are
a venue that is not even for you. Right where you're at. Have you started there yet? Don't move too fast, my sister, my brother. Don't get out of God's will. Take your time. Let him place you where he wants you to be. And before we end, we just want to extend the invitation to that you that's hiding inside, behind that fake smile, that you that you want to uncover. I give you the opportunity to just come and get to know the real you, the you that God has for you. If you die today and you're not for sure that you would spend eternity in heaven with God, I invite you to just come now and just open up your heart and just repeat after me as we close tonight. It may be closing time, but this is the most important time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for loving me enough to die for me. God, I believe that you are the beginning and the end. I believe that you are the creator of all things. I accept you in my life and invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you gave your only son, Jesus Christ, and that he died on the cross for me. And I want to accept all that his shed blood bought for me on that cross. I confess that I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins and give me a new hope. Give me a new beginning. Give me a new start, starting right now. And I will serve you with the gifts that you have bestowed upon me for the rest of my life. Amen. 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 All heaven shouts with you. If you just pray that prayer, you are a new creature of Christ. And all of the old things have passed away. You may see remnants of it, but that's just what it is. But you are a new creature in Christ. It's important that you contact and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. We want to pray with you. We'll get any kind of biblical literature out to you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. This is your host, Minister Von Dumas, live from San Antonio, Texas. Until the next time, God bless you and keep you. We love you, but God loves you more. Bye-bye.